Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lauren and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hi, Kat. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me.
So happy to have you back. So tell us where you've been up to.
So my book that comes out in June is about, it's two people who fall in love via blackmail letters, which is, I mean, obviously you have to be pretty bad at blackmailing and also being blackmailed in order for that to happen. But these are like two disaster bisexuals who everything they do is just going wrong. And this is just part of it going wrong. And basically they, one of them is like a self-styled Robin Hood type of figure who thinks he's doing crime for the right reasons. And the other one is like a pretty uptight, bossy, she's currently sort of married to a Duke, but it turns out it's bigamous. And so he's like, you know what I'm going to do as my good deed of the day is like blackmail some rich people, you know? And so he sends her a letter. And she responds with like a really, really mean letter of her own. And it turns out that he just really can't resist mean women. And, you know, things go downhill from there. And she winds up needing to flee from the law after she kills her sort of husband. And, you know, they had to go on a road trip like you do in romance novels.
Like you do in a romance novel, just along with blackmailing, killing, yeah. Murders, you know, murder and all the other fun stuff.
I probably should have mentioned the title. That's The Perfect Crimes of Marion Hayes.
Well, it is a perfect crime that she just said.
So. Right. I mean, like, it had to be done.
Yes. And her husband was horrible. So.
Awful. Like really not a nice guy. Someone had to kill him. He needed killing, you know.
And Mary did it. Yeah. So what was the process of writing this book? Like, what was like, you know, did you have fun? Was it a struggle? Like, this book was probably written around the pandemic or, you know, so.
Yes, it was very much a pandemic book. Like both this book and the prequel, which was Queer Principles of Kit Webb. Like they both were written entirely in the pandemic. And like, they both started out as like when I pitched them, they had much harder edges than they wound up having. Like there was much more, you know, people deceiving one another and like maybe like enemies to lovers vibes, you know, when I pitched them. And then by the time I wrote them, like I didn't have any enthusiasm for anything other than people who are like ride or die into one another by like the 50% mark, at least, you know, that's my comfort area in writing is people who fundamentally like one another. And so the story definitely lost a lot of its harder edges and turned into something a lot softer. Rob is completely head over heels in love with Marion, like before the book really even begins, you know, because she sent him all of these mean letters. Like he had no choice. He had to fall in love, right? And she realizes that she's fond of him and is like, wait, she has too much going on in her life to really like think in terms of lasting relationships, you know. But even she like knows that this is a big deal by the 50% mark. But yeah, everything I've written in the pandemic has been like progressively schmoopy, you know, like it's
and I think it's what we need as a reader because there's like cozy comfort with it. Like there's action and adventure and there's stuff, but at the same time, it's like, it feels cozy. It feels like, oh, like it's a comfort read that we can actually have, you know?
As a reader, I love reading about like somebody on the internet described it as like, just like the worst people you've ever met falling in love with one another. And like, I love that as a reader, right? But like as a writer, it's not in my wheelhouse, you know? But I like both extremes, you know, like the like ultra soft and the like and the like, maybe they're trying to murder one another, maybe they're falling in love, like six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Yeah. Oh, so good. And I know you're writing, what are you working next? So you're writing something in 1950s, right? Or
yeah.
You're working away from the, to the 20th century.
Yeah. I wrote it in like last November. I was in a really like, I had finished, you know, I had turned in my revisions for Perfect Crimes. I didn't really have any, I hadn't pitched anything to my publisher yet, right? And I knew I needed to do that soon, but also it was November. And so I was like, I'm going to take advantage of NaNoWriMo and I'm just going to write something that is probably a really bad idea. I'm just going to do it. I have a month. And then December, I'm going to be a grown up and like write something that I can pitch. Okay. And so I hammered out this book that was like, it's basically, it's again, friends to lovers, like, here we go with like more schmoopy stuff, right? In a newspaper in the late 1950s in New York City. And I wrote it. I basically wrote the whole book in November, like, you know, like a garbage draft, but the book was done and I was able to polish. And I said, I emailed my agent and said like, okay, look, like we both know, like this is like not a comfortable area for historical romance, right? Mm-hmm. But like, what if I accidentally wrote a book? like what if I tripped and fell on my keyboard and like now we have a book? And she was like, of course we're gonna find a home for the book, don't worry. And so, and Avon wanted it. So like, that's fantastic because I have a really good working relationship with Avon. And so that, you know, like that's, and I'm really glad to see that historical romance maybe can like move beyond the places where we've seen it already, right? Like that's really exciting for me as a reader too, because like now maybe more people will write books that take place in like weirder time periods, you know?
Well, I think it's like, it's the 20th century. I know it was so long ago, but it wasn't so long ago, but it's like, but I think it's like fun to look at it because we look back and like, oh, 1950 was just like 20 years ago. I'm like, no, it's been like so many years, you know?
I know. I mean, like my kids who are teenagers, okay, like they earnestly, like totally, not to troll me, they're like, well, that happened in the 1900s. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like the first time they did, I totally thought they were just like making fun of me. But like, no, like that is like, that's a long time ago for them.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, they're not that much younger than like the audience that, you know, like you would expect to be going to a bookstore and picking up adult romance, you know? Yep. So, and it's also like there's so many television shows and movies that take place in the middle of the 1900s that it is like kind of like a weird dead area for books. There just aren't that many.
It's either World War II.
Yep.
Or we move to anything else. World War II, Cold War. Maybe Cold War will have some stuff. But
it's all spies. It's like literally all spies. You know?
Yeah. I'm like, there is so much to be said about like women's rights, like, you know, queer representation, like mind-boggling, like things that happened in the 1900s that we can go back. So I can't wait till when we had 1980s books and it was like historical romance, you know.
There are like, and the thing is like I've independently published, especially queer romance, like I've seen 80s, I've seen 90s, which is a really like that's a blow.
That was like 20 years ago, but
yeah, I was joking, like I could write a historical romance in the 90s, like I'm a primary source, like I could totally do that, like, and that's really like I don't think I want to think about that, you know. but to see like mainstream publishing do that, especially like for adult titles, like for YA, seeing stuff that's published that takes place in the 90s and the 80s is that's happened, like we get that, you know. And even that really is historical for that audience, you know. And I totally valid, you know. But
for the adult market, I'm like, I want more of that, because I'm like, it's not the history, because we don't even get that history in class, like,
no,
we don't care about that. We're like, oh, it just happened like not that long ago, so you don't learn about that. So it's fun to be like exploring those time periods, because there's like so much happening, you know, and that set the stone, like set the, what do we live now, like how things are the way they are now, you know. So
And see, it's like how we got here, you know, like how did we get to this place?
Yeah. Like, how the hell do we get to this place? You know, things that happened 70 years ago or 60 years ago are like, and now we're like, everything's recycled. Like, honestly, like 100 years ago, we had a pandemic, we had a recession, we had all this different inflation, all this stuff. And we're just recycling the same things, you know, in 2022. So, So I hope that that's going to give you more opportunities to write more historical romance, to have more fun with it and more flexibility, you know. So awesome.
Me too.
Yeah. So let's chat some book recommendations. Do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
I do. Okay. So I put together a list of books that are about magical libraries and or magical librarians, because there's so many. Like, and because once I started listing them, I realized there were like 50 more. And so I had to like narrow my scope down, like, and take out the dystopian librarians. Do you know what I mean? Like, okay. So this is only magical libraries and librarians. Okay. So the first one is Alice Six by Olive E. Blake. Okay. And she's an author who I know her work from fanfic. Okay. Like from fanfic in the fandom that we don't talk about. Okay. And I know her from like literally a 300,000 word fic she wrote for like my least favorite pairing in the world. And yet I read it in like 2 days. It was like completely like I was obsessed. Okay. Like I was at one of my kids' music recitals, like thinking to myself, like, what if I read fanfic on my phone while this is happening? And I was like, no, Kat, no, like that's really bad mom territory, you know? But anyway, so I knew that if she could make me care about that situation, I could read anything, you know what I mean? Like anything, right? And sure enough, like I was sucked into this entire world that she made where you've got like a bunch of people who seem like smart, intelligent people, but they're making like truly horrible life choices because they've been given access to what they're told is the Library of Alexandria, which has not been lost, but it has been hidden and it contains like all kinds of arcane knowledge. So they go and they basically lock themselves up in a year to presumably do terrible things to one another or whatever, and have horrible things happen to them because they get access to this knowledge. And like, there's a bazillion point of view characters in this book. Like it's wacky and sprawling and it's all over the place. And I think I read it in like 18 hours, you know? It was that kind of like where like you don't want to, like you're brushing your teeth, but you're still reading. You know, like that kind of, which is like, that's the like high that I'm always chasing after, you know? And the other, like in a totally, the next one in a totally different style is The Midnight Library by Matt Haig, which got a whole bunch of attention a couple of years ago from and I'm always skeptical when like my mom likes the book, but also the internet likes the book. Like, I don't know, like, I don't want to read it now because like, what is this, right? Like I can't please everybody, but now I loved it. I cried like 7 times. It was like really embarrassing. And so the premise is that like there exists a library where alternate versions of your life exist. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so the main character is in a really horrible place at the beginning of the book and then wakes up in some kind of, you know, like pocket universe where their like middle school librarian or something is there like saying, look, the books on these shelves contain versions of your life. Like if you had made a different choice, like in a sliding doors type of situation, right? Then this is the life you would like, And the rest of the book is them going through all of these different situations in order to figure out what kind of life they really want to live. And like, it is like for anyone who's like had that, like, that like, oh, if only I had just done this one other thing, or like, what if, oh my God, like, what if I hadn't done this thing? And like, then where would I be? Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like I met my kid's dad in like a supermarket, you know, like, and so like, what if I hadn't gone to that supermarket? You know what I mean? Like, that's like a, you know, like you could have that kind of horrifying. And so like that I think is something everyone's thought about. And so it's like a creepy good or creepy bad feeling to really investigate that for the duration of a book. Right.
Yeah.
And then I've got a marvelous Light by Freya Marksi. Okay. And I'm realizing that I have read her name a million times and I don't know how to pronounce it. So I should probably figure that out. It's the first in a series. It is like, fantasy romance, historical fantasy romance, It's like a really large, good-natured himbo plus a really prickly, reserved librarian slash archivist, and they have to solve like magical mysteries together. Like, that's all, you know, you don't need to hear anymore. It's like himbo plus I had to make a tag in my book spreadsheet that's just himbo slash librarian just for this, because like that is, you know what, like that's the dynamic I want more of. Okay.
Yes, I want more of that.
Yeah, like it's perfect.
Yes.
And then I have this tiny bit of a stretch is In Other Lands by Sarah Rees Brennan, which is one of my favorite comfort reads. And I think I've read it like four times since March 2020. Okay. And it basically it's like the classic situation where like a couple of select children from our universe are chosen to go to a magical school in another realm, you know, except the twist here is that our main character, Elliot, is super skeptical about this from the beginning. Like, why are we human trafficking children to like go to another world and like be child soldiers? Like, this is all super fishy, right? Mm-hmm. And they all like, why do they all want to fight wars when instead Elliot can go hang out in the library and come up with clever diplomatic solutions to everybody's problems? And he's such a jerk and he's such a mess. And he's a kid at the beginning, you know? And he's like, he's that kid that like, nobody can stand in school. You know what I mean? But as an adult, it's so lovely to see like this kid come into his own and also just be like a giant dork and read all of the books in like the creepy magic school library. So anyway, those are four magic librarian books that I loved.
I love these recommendations. I love they're unique enough. Like if you're thinking for librarians, but you have some good objective reads, you have some himbos, you have some like sliding doors. So there's a little bit of everything. And it's funny enough that that's how publishing has been working with giving us magic librarians, you know?
And there's so many more. Like, this is wild. Like, who knew this was like a mini trope? You know, I had not thought of this.
Yeah, until you realize, and then you're like, I need more of these books. And then you're like, oh, there's more, more, more. So. Yeah. Awesome. So Kat, tell us where you can find you online.
I am on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Kat S Writes. And my website is katsebastian.com.
Thank you, Kat, for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Laura.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whatyourwearenextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With LibraFem, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports the local community. If you're new to audiobooks, they're the perfect way to squeeze more reading into your busy life. Listen with the free LibraFM app while you do your chores, walk the dog, relax at home. If you already love audiobooks and don't know what to listen next, check out recommendations from people who know the best booksellers. The Watch Your Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get two audiobooks on LibraFM for the price of one with your first month membership. Use code WATCHYOURNEXT. The offer is valid only for new members in Canada and the U.S. The Watch Your Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What's Your Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always in the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourwearenextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.